So welcome into the Press Pass. This is the Gobble Gobble Day edition. The Thanksgiving edition. Thursday, November 25th, episode 330. Mr. Steed, before we talk about food, and more food, let's thank our fine sponsors. What do you say?
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. Gobble, gobble, Craig.
Let's do it, man. BSA Care Express Urgent Care, Modern Woodman of America, Andrus Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch, Steak and Sports, speaking of food, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler Chapman Howard Insurance Agency, Renee Butcher over at Edward Jones, the Madman Mentality, Release Your Madman or Push Away from the Dinner Table. Either way, that's the Butcher Boys there. SKP Creative, the Makeco Shopping Center, All Red Security Insurance Agency, Amarillo National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrenaline Fundraising, Lacey White Farmers Insurance Agency, Kids Inc., Wellington State Bank, and the Furman family of companies, including Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, the Depot Storage Solutions Center, the Red Box,
Fat Boys Family Barbecue,
and the Hot Dog Hut over at 518 South 10th. Happy Thanksgiving, Kale.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Craig. You've got big plans for the Turkey Day besides watching your Dallas Cowboys beat the, Oakland, Los Angeles, now Las Vegas Raiders?
Whatever they are these days. No big plans for me, I don't think. We'll see if I can keep the food down. That will be the task here.
Yeah, same here. I'm going to keep it away from my three dogs. That's my task, is to keep it away from Millie, Roxy, and BB, who always make it an event. When we're Serena and I are trying to eat, they think it's their supper time too.
It's not?
Exactly.
It's not?
I love Thanksgiving, man. It's a great day. Yeah, it's one of the great holidays. I'm a big turkey and dressing guy. Now, let me ask you, have you ever had oyster dressing before?
I have, and I don't like
it. A Yankee thing?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I've had it too. I'm a normal dressing guy.
Me too.
Right?
Cornbread.
Yep.
Let's do it.
I've had oyster dressing. It's not the worst thing in the world, but give me regular dressing all day. Now, I'm not a big yams guy, you know? Cranberries.
I love yams. Cranberries, nasty.
Nasty. Yams, no. But I love green bean casserole, turkey, giblet gravy, pumpkin pie. Are you a pecan pie or pumpkin pie? What do you go with?
Have you not seen me?
Look at me,
I'm
too.
I'm both, yeah. Man.
Are you?
I'm both.
Are you?
I am both. See, the thing for me is, especially if I'm hosting Thanksgiving at my house, I'm making it all.
Yeah.
So homemade mac and cheese got to go with it. Little broccoli rice casserole. We have pumpkin pie. We have pecan pie.
Pecan pie or pecan pie?
Pecan.
Yes.
I'm trying to drive Kirkland crazy, and then it's pecan.
See, I used to do the same thing to my mom and call it pecan. She would get so pissed off. Like, it's not pecan, it's pecan. I'm sorry. I'm messing with you. Is Kirkland that way, too?
Oh, yeah. It's pecan. It's pecan. Yeah. It's pecan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a huge, like, I load the plate, man, and last year now I had COVID. I got diagnosed, I'll never forget it, Craig. So I came back from Garland, like this year, and by Tuesday, Wednesday, something wasn't right. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And by Thursday, I woke up that morning and brushed my teeth, and I ate breakfast and nothing. and I'm looking there, and I don't want to tell my wife. I don't want to tell her. And I'm like, something's wrong. So I go get her nail polish, and I put it right to my nose, and boom, nothing.
Nothing.
I could have drank that.
And you were like, okay.
Okay. I go, babe, we got to go to the – I need to go to the urgent care. And she's like, what for? I go, they could have COVID. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, yep, I had COVID. Oof. I didn't have anything. She goes, what do you want for – do you want me to make you some? Go get some grass in the backyard. Just put that on a plate, and that's what I'm going to have. So this year, I'm going full-blown out for Thanksgiving. I'm gonna celebrate in a big way.
So the question is, turkey meat,
dark. I like white. I like white on the day of.
I do too, but I also got to have a lot of giblet gravy on it.
Oh yeah, because the next day though, that's when it gets dry.
Yeah.
But dark meat is way better than that.
No, I'm with you there. So you talked about your dogs, right?
Yeah, Millie, Roxy, and BB.
Exactly. So I've got two dogs,
yes,
Rocky and Coco.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you can feed your dog at Thanksgiving, because this is important.
Yes.
So they can have potatoes, sweet and white.
Yep.
Were you aware of that? Apples, turkey meat, but no bones or skin is important. Green beans, peas, and pumpkin. Things you don't give your dog. Don't give them the turkey bones. Don't give them skin. Don't give them gravy.
I didn't know you couldn't give them skin. I used to give them skin off chicken.
I think it's because of the fat content. Don't give them the stuffing. Don't give them casseroles. butter, sour cream, chocolate. Oh, don't give dogs chocolate.
Oh, no, I'm never giving a dog.
You're asking for trouble there.
That's a poison.
Raisins, grapes, no. Ham. It says no ham, which I find interesting.
That is interesting. We're not having ham this year, which is it's a little sad to me because I love some ham, too.
I love ham, especially the day after. Some ham sandwiches. I can eat that for days.
Ham sandwich
with some Miracle Whip on a bread. Oh, baby. Ooh. All day, every day. But now here's the one that I laugh at this list. Unsafe foods to feed your dog at Thanksgiving. And what's on the list? How stupid are we as Americans? Alcoholic beverages. Who's giving their dog alcoholic beverages to begin with?
You would be surprised, man. Trust me. You would be surprised who's dumb enough to give their dog
alcohol. Oh, my gosh.
Who gives their dog alcohol. Now, I'll tell you.
Coffee is hot. Don't feed your dog alcohol.
Well, you would think. But I guarantee you a quarter, maybe 50% of Americans pour Bud Light in a bowl and give it to their dog because they're that.
They're stupid. Not Spuds McKenzie.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm with you. I know that Roxy and Millie and BB and Coco and Rocky, right?
Yep.
They are going to get turkey. They are probably going to get some potatoes, a little bit of biscuit or roll, whatever, cornbread, you know, something like that tomorrow. I didn't know you could give them pumpkin. I did not know you could give them pumpkin.
Yes. No, pumpkin's actually really good for them. In fact, if you look at a lot of the higher grade dog foods, uh-huh. Pumpkin is one of the staples in those a lot of times.
Okay.
So,
okay, well, good.
Yeah, pumpkin is good for dogs.
Well,
so anyway,
I'm glad we're doing this special edition today and with a special edition, because we got Friday afternoon and Saturday are just, it's what a week of just, last week I thought was kind of just a dull area round. We come back around to kind of our South Plains versus Amarillo teams. We go Metroplex versus Amarillo area. It's a great week of just third round football. And these guys love playing on Thanksgiving.
No, they do. And it's funny because, you know, we had this last week in six man because you got the right. One less round. And so you've got some really big games. Now that's what we've got here in this regional semifinal. When you look at it, class 5A to 2A. And then when you look at six man, oh, you're down to eight.
Oh,
eight
yeah,
teams, that's it.
Eight teams, and it's amazing to me that we're already here. This is the midway point.
I know.
For 11-man. Six-man is kind of the week ahead, but 11-man, this is the midway point of the playoffs, and then you start talking December football, and that's where it just gets really gritty and really good. And with a big week like we have, there's no better special guest to bring in than Hall of Fame member 182, Lance Lonert.
Who's looking mighty dapper.
I wish people could see him today. I mean, you got a golf game, I guess. Here, this is, we did record on Wednesday. We even know we're talking about Thanksgiving Day, but you got your outfit on.
My Bronco outfit. Payne Stewart paying tribute to the Payne or so. Yeah, you know, hey, you don't get to play a lot of golf in November, so why not? You know what I mean? A day off. I don't have to do the show this afternoon, so. Going to have a little fun today. Yeah.
Hey,
this is the reason the Broncos beat Dallas, Kale. I'm just telling you right now.
I thought it was the shoes.
It was the shoes, too, but this outfit as well. The shoes were with it. So, yeah. No, I rolled in that way. So, yeah. No.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Well, and before we get into regional semifinals, Kale.
Yeah, it's a – what Lance, I want to ask you a question first, man. Are you surprised how wiped out we've been? I mean, we have eight teams left.
Yeah, no, it's surprising to me. Usually the area around isn't that brutal on us at all.
Yeah.
And it was surprising, you know. I mean, you never know what comes out of the districts. You know, if they're injured, what kind of team actually is a playoff team? You know what I mean? Sometimes because we know teams closer than others. But, yeah, I mean, it happens, you know what I mean? And it's one of those years.
It has surprised me that some of the districts we thought would get teams two and three rounds deep didn't. I mean, they didn't even get out of the first round.
Yeah. And let's not pick on 3-3-A Division II, but, you know, we thought we would probably have four teams still left.
Yeah, at least three.
Yeah, at least
especially
three.
One.
Yeah.
That we all kind of banked on.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Got knocked out early.
Right, yeah. So things like that happen, you know what I mean? And I don't think you can predict it. You know what I mean? It's kind of what comes from the other districts. Usually some of our districts are better than those. You know what I mean? So.
I think some districts, too, play – and I hate to use the word soft, softer districts, while like some districts get power.
Yeah.
And it's weird because some of these by-district matchups are regional quarters.
Yeah, I agree.
While some of them are not.
Yeah, it's like just a Follette matchup, like in the six-man. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. a quarterfinal state semifinal game. And you guys, real quick on this, you know, and you need that lucky game, you know, to survive the playoffs. I'm not, I'm
oh, yeah.
Maybe a lucky play in it. And sometimes those just never go with you. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Well, let's get started. Class 5A Division I Regional Semifinals. Now, a team that I think we thought would be here is Tascosa. On this side of the bracket, I don't think that's where we anticipated them to be, and I don't know that I necessarily thought they'd be the last one standing out of District 3-5A.
Well, they are in Lansing, 2-5A.
2-5A.
Division I.
Well, yeah, it's easy to get confused.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
Completely. Basketball,
no.
Football.
Yeah, it switches back and forth.
Nobody knows Tascosa like you do, and you watched them last week, man. You're not surprised they're here.
No, not surprised. I will say this, though, guys. This is their game, you know, this Colleyville Heritage game that they had to survive that game against Burleson Centennial, losing, you know, what, six wins. You know, nobody thought anything special about Burleson El Dorado. You knew Tascosa was going to roll in bi-district. So this is the game that they got to prove themselves worthy. We did learn one thing last week about the Rebs. Chaos does go on the sideline, but they handled the chaos. Against Coronado, they didn't. You know what I mean? That's the first time they actually got punched back. And so I think lesson learned. But here's the things that's a little scary. Tascosa only had three first downs in the first half. Ooh. In the win over Burleson Centennial. Led 10-3, but that's because of a blocked kick. But they recovered that inside the 10, didn't punch it in, and then Latravian Brown returns the kickoff 93 yards. So it's 10-3 without them having a first down. So against Heritage, guys, they're going to have to sustain some drives.
Craig has watched some defensive guys.
Exactly. So when you look at Colleyville Heritage, we talked about their strong defensive line. Garrett Finley, Caden Richards, both double-digit sacks. This Colleyville Heritage team has over 60 sacks on the season. And then Dylan McKinney in the secondary, he's got 5 picks on the year. That is a strong defense there.
So, Lance, Major Everhart, 560 yards in the playoffs alone.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, getting the ball because he has to. What are they going to do to stop Colleyville from putting 11 in the box?
That's a great question, Cale, because they're going to start out that way, by the way, okay?
Right.
And Coach Martin, by the way, who is the Colleyville Heritage coach, he is a Kittaquay grad.
Really?
I mean, kid grew up in Kittaquay, played with our guy Kirk Saul at Valley.
Wow.
Yeah, yep. So I mean, he knows the Sandy, you know, I mean, he knows Sandy's Tascosa. That's what I'm saying when I talked to him before the game. But I will say this, he loves his defense. They fly around, and they're going to have to – that's the challenge of the game. Cale just nailed it. They are going to challenge you with 10 people in the box. The one thing Heritage has, they played two triple-option teams this year already, including Burleson Centennial. So Tascosa is not this – that used to be their shtick going into the playoffs. Yeah. You know, like, no one's seen this before. How are they going to defend it? Well, Heritage has seen it. Heritage's offense, this will be a chance for the Tascosa defense to win a game, because I think Heritage offense, while good, you know, this Weston Smith, he's a big cat at quarterback, number 6. But if you can get him off his spot, guys, which Amarillo High was able to do on occasion, get him rolling out, he's not nearly as accurate. But you let him sit in there, and it's a dime.
Yeah.
It's a bullet.
He'll find Hogan Watson all day long.
Hogan Watson is the man. Hey, check out this, guys, also. Midland High. We have two Midland High guys, Brennan Mannix. You know Mannix.
Yeah, Mannix.
Mannix.
McLean Mannix, yeah.
Yeah, his little brother. And then Jordan Springer, the linebacker, number 42, if you're watching the game. Really good player. They both were at Midland High last year, so they know the Rebs as well. So it's going to be a challenge for them. But here's my thought real quick, is this is the game that Tascosa is kind of an underdog. You know, let's prove themselves worthy and be a third-round playoff team winner.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this. If Colleyville scores more than 21 points, does Tascosa win?
You know, that's a – yeah, they've got it. Yeah, I think Tascosa can get to 25, 28. You know what I mean? I think it's that range. If a shootout, I don't see Tascosa getting it done. But we do have the go-daddy of all go-daddies in Major Everhart. So – he makes a play that's you didn't expect. Like, how did that guy miss him because he's so fast?
Right.
Things like that. So Major's going to have to make plays, but Cale nailed it. And were they? Oh, they attempted all of one pass last week, guys, and it was an incomplete. And basically, it was a Hail Mary at the end of a long pass.
Right.
So I'm with you. I'm sure they have a game plan. They're really good on special teams. And last thing is, and I don't mean to be negative on the Rebs because I love me some Rebs and Coach Kim Plunk. Kicking game, Colleyville Heritage, all over it.
Are they legit?
A field goal kicker, that part of it. Yeah. Okay, they win that battle. Because, guys, Last week, Tascosa kicks a field goal, first time in 3 years that they made a field goal in a game.
Wow.
Yeah, at a 5A, 6A level. Ooh, so, wow. Yeah. So, hey, they're going to have to play their game, but this is what they've built them all year for. Last, the whole Plunk era is built to try to win a game against a Metroplex team.
I got to think in this ball game. As much as we talk about majoring that offense, this is a game where Avion Carter has got to show.
The Humphrey kid, too.
He's a four-star defensive end, and I'm going to take this game over from a defensive side to keep Tascosa in this ball game.
No, Tascosa's defense, I think, has to win the game. Oh, bottom line, yeah. And let's one last shout-out, Latravian Brown.
Oh,
he's the most underrated 5A football player in Texas, in my opinion. He can make – he's a playmaker deluxe.
Ball hawk.
See if he can come up with a ball hawk, make an interception, maybe a pick six, maybe in the return game, get him great field position. So that's a number 23 if you go to the game. That's who you want to watch.
Yeah. And then on the other side of that, Mansfield Summit and Midlothian. It's a matchup of district teams here, so they've seen each other. Summit's really good.
They are.
I think they take this one.
Gopher Bowl, baby.
Division II regional semifinals. Nobody from the area there real quick, but Canutillo and Wichita Falls Rider and Cooper and Grapevine, which should be a great game.
Cooper Grapevine is a game to watch. I think Rider has no problems. Cooper Grapevine, this was a 22-19 game, Cooper, last year. Grapevine's a pretty good football team. This ought to be a fun game. That would be the game to watch in Division II.
I totally agree. And then I think Rider, Canutillo, let's give him credit for getting this far, but I think Rider will handle that.
Give Canutillo credit for taking Randall down for the first time in 3 years. The third round.
Yeah. Cooper's legit on defense. Their offense is not like the beast. But,
right.
Yeah, but they can fly.
Yeah, that Kobe McKenzie in the middle, the OU signee, is amazing. Class 4A Division I regional semifinals, bottom half of the bracket.
Well, first, let's give a shout-out to Springtown and Andrews, who played on Monday. And what an emotional win. What an emotional game that Andrews played on Monday. And gutsy. Nobody gave them a chance to win and play on Monday. And then what an emotional win for Spring. You imagine having to go out and win that ball game on Monday?
It's like I said last week. You are the villain no matter what you did in that ball game. And it's unfortunate for Springtown, but I mean, you got the whole world rooting against you.
He did, and Andrews, just to go out and play.
Andrews ahead at half, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you got to give him credit.
Oh, no, yeah.
That's a team that nobody gave any chance to. And then a shout out to like Sweetwater's band.
Oh,
and Big Spring, yeah.
Big Spring,
yeah, mm-hmm. For showing up and playing and learning their music, you know, Andrews' music. So just tragedy, man. It's I know it's life, but it's a little young and a little awkward circumstance to have to learn about life for Andrews. But
it was a cool moment. I saw Dave Campbell's tweeted out the prayer moment. Pretty neat to see. So it's good to see bonding going on. I talked to Brian Hewlett, and he said it was brutal just to play that game.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Can't imagine. So Springtown and El Paso Riverside, 4 o'clock Saturday in Midland. I don't know a whole lot about Riverside, but I got to think Springtown is the favorite in that ball game.
I would agree.
And then on the bottom half there, we'll talk about it. Dumas and Wichita Falls Hershey.
Our Demons, baby.
Man, the Demons just keep rolling.
Is that
man.
A program or what, Lance?
That is a program, and let's give a shout-out. Chad Dunham started it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, he won, as he'll remind you, you know, his bro's getting all the love, but they were 3-7. They won three games the first 2 years of that. So Dumas is maybe one of the most underrated programs in the state of Texas right now for their consistency over the last half decade.
Oh, they won 7 playoff games in 3 years. And they had 0 in how many years? So incredible.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the team, guys. We thought, okay, they've lost too much.
I did.
You know, over the last 2 years.
He's been dogging them all year.
I did. I thought they were down. I thought this was going to be Canyon's district, maybe even Pampa the way they started out. But, man, the Demons just, you know, every time a challenge showed up, they just punched people in the mouth.
You know why, Lance? And you'll know this because of defense.
Totally
agree.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And they're hard-nosed kids, obviously. They're in the weight room. They're physical. But, yeah, it's their defense. And then they do enough on offense. You know what I mean? That's when they lose, is when the offense is totally stagnant. You know
what I
mean? But they'll have their hands full with Hershey. I mean, they're not 10-2 for any reason, you know. But I think it's a very winnable game for the Demons.
I'm with you. Hershey is very athletic. They've got a freshman quarterback Jamel McFalls, who has a little cyclone blood in him there for you.
Really?
Lance.
Is that right?
Okay.
He does. His dad is from Memphis. So,
really? Okay.
Yes. Right. Played at Eastern New Mexico.
That's why you're on the show, Craig.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to give a little something, you know. You guys know everything else. So.
No, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah. They're big and athletic. I know that.
Yes, they are. But I'm with you, Lance. I do think Dumas can win this game. It's a winnable game. Now, do they? That's another story, yeah. But it is winnable. I don't think this is a game that they go into just heavy underdogs. So that should be a great one. 3 o'clock Friday afternoon in Plainview. A Division II regional semifinals. Nobody from the area there, but Aubrey and Monahan's on one end.
Monahan's a 4 seed. It's unbelievable.
I didn't expect them here.
And then let's give a shout out to Snyder taking on Slida. Let's give a shout out to Westwood.
Yeah, I know.
He's got the Tigers rolling.
Merry Christmas. You get Salina.
Yeah. This the Cinderella is back coming to an end. But hey, Westwood's did a tremendous job at Snyder.
Yeah, and obviously his pedigree is the real deal. So I mean, he's played in a big games, coached in a lot of. Now he gets to coach in a big game.
What is it with Muleshoe and coaches? What is it? There's one at OU, I think, that does pretty
good. Yeah, I know.
He does all right.
I don't know.
And then his brother is at SMU. I mean, it's like they just know how to coach offense.
That's a really good – maybe it's because of the Daddy Wood.
Yeah.
You know, Dad – I mean, I think they made it actually fun to be a football player.
I think so.
At Muleshoe. You know that? I mean, he's a hard-nosed guy, but I think they actually taught you why this play is supposed to work, not just – go out and hit this guy. You know what I mean?
I agree.
But, really good point.
Yeah, and then a Class 3A Division I regional semifinals, top half of the bracket, Shallow Water and Whitesboro.
That's a dead even game, man. Just flip a coin. I think you'd flip a coin here. I looked at Whitesboro last week against Bushland. Thought Bushland had a very chance to win that game. Nothing really stood out about Whitesboro. Shallow Water's kind of a good but not a great team. It's the bottom half of the bracket that you want to watch.
The state title game goes on in the bottom half of the bracket.
And fittingly at Gordon Wood Stadium.
Yes, exactly.
So in a state title type guy. Yeah, no.
Jim, Ned, and Brock.
Too
number
early.
One versus
too early,
number two.
Man.
Too early, Lance.
How full will that stadium be?
Packed.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it'll be rocking. That's one game I got my eyes on.
Yeah. Sadly, Jim Ned's missing a couple of linemen. I think they're a little beat up. Brock could just run the freaking football, as we saw against River Road. Welp said I could have played them 10 times.
Yeah.
Nothing we could do about it.
Is that right?
Just
the MASH
unit?
Yeah,
MASH unit.
Yeah. Brock is one of the great stories because they started football so late. You know what I mean? But they do it right, obviously. They have everything in order. They know how to win. But, hey – 12-0, come on, man.
Xavier Wishart's on the field, too, with Jim Ned. Never count him out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and Tate Yardley, the quarterback for Jim Ned, headed to Texas Tech to play baseball. So he's a pretty good athlete. No, that should be a fantastic matchup.
If you were playing baseball, would you play quarterback in the state of Texas?
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Pitch, sure.
Man, I got to keep my body healthy, brother.
Man, it's the number one team in the state. Heck yeah, you got to play.
No, I'm just kidding. Just stay healthy, man. Stay healthy.
Division II regional semifinals, top half of the bracket. Abernathy and Canadian. We all expected this, right?
Oh, yeah. Lance, what do you think? What do you think Brady, Roosevelt, and Abernathy are just going, why is Canadian still here?
Still there, you can't kill them, you know?
they're all calling up the ILU coaches. You had that one.
Your one job to beat him out.
One job, yeah.
One beat him out. Lance, are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
Okay. Because you saw him against Childress.
Yeah, I saw him against Childress. They looked like it was over, you know what I mean? No disrespect to him. Beat up, Childress partying on their own field, you know what I mean? But I will say this, Childress partying so hard, those guys looking at them may have just said, okay, this ain't happening anymore. I mean, may have woken him up. Also healthy, as you guys know, Flowers, even though his legs weren't great in the first game, you know, came back a little better, but he's back now. You know, you talked to Coach Ketting, and I saw Coach Merkitt at the Amarillo High basketball game last night, and he said Flowers is back. Now, Crable, you know, he's still hurting with this injury a little bit. He's back in the lineup mentally. They need him out there. But I will say this, little Cavs, man, let's give a shout-out to that guy is beat up, okay? You know, we know he's hurt. But that guy, he's got the legs to make a difference in this game. Only a sophomore quarterback. But what you guys' thoughts? I mean, Abernathy's still Abernathy. Good quarterback.
Here's what scares me is for Canadian's sake, is we've seen their secondary time and time again give up big yards. And they have Jess Hole, 2,300-yard passer, 700-yard rusher,
yeah.
quarterback. Then what's scary is the two outside threats. Anthony White, one of the big play receivers in the state, right?
Yeah.
Former Perryton kid. Just think of Perryton still had him and Klafka, by the
way.
Oh,
my goodness.
Goodness gracious. 700-yard receiver, Luke Houston on the other side, who Daryl Daly, I talked to old Coach Daly the other day,
okay.
said might be a better route runner than White, just a route runner.
Just a, yeah.
700-yard receiver. That is what is scary for a Canadian coming into this game.
No, I'm with you because we saw a healthy Canadian team get torched by Bushland through the air. We've seen them get torched through the air by Spearman.
Toya.
It's there to be taken. And Abernathy can throw the ball. And I think they could potentially give Jess Hole enough time because they're big up front.
Well, here's the deal. Canadian, though, is it can run the ball down their throat if they want to. Abernathy has given up 200 yards a game on the ground.
You know, and Ketting's the great mastermind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, figuring out how do we beat this team. And Canadian is so talented that they can adjust to whatever we have to do a little bit different each week. So, and they're in the perfect role, man. They're underdogs.
They're underdogs, yeah.
They're loving this. So, they're in a great situation, and if you're in Amarillo, you can check this game out at 2 o'clock.
And Daryl Daly told me that he told the Abernathy coaching staff, don't let Canadian wear white. So Canadians wear black in this
Is
game.
Is that right?
They wear black in this game.
Do they
game.
Have the choice, you mean, or do they go?
I think they – I don't know how it worked.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked. I just know Daly's like, don't let those guys wear white.
That's because, as Kale knows, they always ask for white. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, go ahead and wear your white.
Go be visitor. We'll be at home.
And that's their play. That's their playoff color. Yeah. They love that. Yeah. I will say that shout-out to Canadian fans. Showed up long trip last week, and Coach Ketting was totally amazed when the guys came out of the locker room for the opening kickoff to have, even for Canadian, that support. You know, because everybody's like, oh, this isn't ours. You know, we're used to state championship team. These guys may not be at that level.
Yeah, no.
You can't count them out, man.
No, man.
We had them counted out.
But Abernathy's good.
And yeah, they are
this good. This will be a tough game.
Yeah, yeah. You can, yeah. Anything now from now on, you're going to face a really good team.
Exactly. And then the bottom half, Brady and Lubbock Roosevelt. Lubbock Roosevelt says, thanks. I appreciate this because, Brady knocks out Stanton, who knocked out Childress, and they're like, I like this.
Yeah, Roosevelt's going to roll. This team is loaded.
I'm with you.
It's a magical season with Roosevelt.
Is.
Yeah,
yeah. That game tomorrow night in Sweetwater. Class 2A Division I Regional Semifinals. I have to ask, is there a better regional semifinal foursome than what you're seeing right here?
No. If there was a games in this area, I'd be a Holly Coleman all day.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that game all day. That's one of the best games in the state. Coleman is back, man.
They are
good.
They've always had those. Yeah, the speed and all that.
Could New Deal slow down Cisco and what they do, though?
I don't know because, man, Cisco, what they did to Panhandle, it just makes you go – it made me step up and say, wow, they're for real. The Lobos are for real. I like Coleman in that ball game, by the way. I think Holly's defense starting to show just maybe a little chink in the armor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coleman is – they're – and they are definitely the real deal
Cisco,
there.
Cisco, 664 yards on poor Dane's defense last week.
I got my guy Dane, I love you, man.
I love Dane, but golly.
That's tough.
That is tough to take.
Division II regional semifinals. Hey, it's Panhandle area teams. Woo-hoo! And we're going to lose one after Friday night or Friday afternoon. Wellington and Groover doing battle down at Happy State Bank Stadium in Canyon. And, this is a game that was supposed to go off earlier this season. And – it didn't happen because of Lightning, and now you get it in the playoffs, regional semifinals. I sure like Wellington in this ballgame, and I hate to say that because I've been on the Groover bandwagon, but I think Wellington all of a sudden is starting to find a groove.
There'll be a lot of emotion in this game. Lee Brandon coming playing his
old
team.
Oh, yeah, come playing his old guys, yeah. Yeah, I mean, how can you not be emotional?
Yeah.
Groover seems to be able to – what Lee's been able to do, in my opinion, if you watch their scores, their games – they're really good at hanging with whatever is confronting them. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
All the different styles that come at them. They do a really good job at that. But I'm kind of with Craig on this. When Wellington is no frills, man, you know what's coming at you. And it's nearly impossible to stop.
Oh, they know. They tell you it's coming. Mark Ramirez is coming. He's coming off of one side or the other.
All day.
Yeah.
Every day.
And they got a couple of guys around him that can help. Craig Killian's been such a consistent quarterback.
We talk about
a guy that gets no credit. And he's been there for 3 years. They call him C-Kill. I love that nickname,
C-Kill.
By the way. C-Kill. And their defense is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Groover, like you said, is Lee Brandon not a Coach of the Year candidate? I mean, what this guy's
no,
done?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
He's so much talent there that he's, you know, Pratt McLean, Rich Holland.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just playing so
Colton
well.
Colton Millsap on the outside. Yeah.
I just, man, this Wellington team seems to have finally, after kind of staggering through the start of the season, they had injuries. Well, I just think that they are running on all cylinders.
Yeah,
and right now.
Wellington's already tasted a couple of frustrations, you know what I mean? So I think they know that, hey, it can end if we don't really come ready to play.
Well, they were doubted. They were doubted last week by a lot of people against McCabe, and then went out and just thumped them.
Yeah, so yeah, big time.
Be a great game, and then on the other side, Stratford versus Wink, and you know, I had this game as a lock last week, and now Wink kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
They're able to throw the ball, Craig.
They are. They got Cannon Gibson, the junior. He's the coach's son. Heath Gibson, the coach there. A good runner, really good arm. He can throw the ball. I'm almost positive I seen him at air it out a couple of years ago. It was really cool. That whole air it out thing is great. Wink brought, I had to have brought like 8 to 10 kids to this thing.
Interesting.
And I think it really does help kids there. He's got that Jordan Talley out there at the wide receiver. And then obviously up front, Mac Payne is their best offensive defensive lineman. Wink surprised me beating Clarendon in the fashion that they did. And that,
me too.
I don't want to say that scares me against Stratford because I still think Stratford is the best team in this region, but they, I just don't know that they can show up and do what they did against Seagraves, because if they start slow, it could be a dogfight all the way to the end.
Lance, you saw Stratford. They got to go under center and mash.
Yeah, they just have to mash you.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Don't do anything.
And they can do that. Don't get fancy.
Right.
And you have one of the great young minds, Matt Levern. And they've been on a year-long roll. You know, this is the real deal, Stratford Elks. That can do a lot of things to them. They'll prepare for this passing game. You're right. Until you see it, they may get beat a couple of times
early.
The Elks secondary. But I tell you what, you got to go four quarters with Stratford, and you know, Seagraves learned that obviously, because that looked like it was going to be a game. And then the adjustments made at halftime, and then just the sheer, just let's mash them.
Mash you. First half, the center has trouble snapping the ball to Rennie. And they got out of that and went under center and just started mashing.
Yeah, it was 7-3 at half. Right. It was kind of like a wet, kind of an ugly night. You know what I mean? I don't know if they – and I'm not making any excuses for anybody, but it was kind of a
there was a huge crap cloud over the stadium, Craig, from the feedlot just down the road. So it's very odd.
One of those. You know what I mean?
It can come in there.
I'm just saying the Elks are the real deal.
Yeah, to me, as long as Cody Rennie's on the field, I like Stratford's chances.
Oh, I completely agree with you. So either way, if Stratford wins, we're getting a panhandle state quarter.
Exactly.
So that would be, that'll be a heck of a game.
So, Lance, let's flip the script here on Craig. We're going to 1A. We got two teams standing, and unfortunately they have to play each other.
They do.
State quarterfinal, a nemesis game too, man. You talk about a great rivalry.
Great rivalry. Yeah. Always has. I mean, it's a long time, yeah.
Versus Greg Craig's.
Yeah.
Happy Cowboys. 9-3, 9-3, 6 o'clock Friday at Devitt. And Craig, you look like you want to puke.
That's an understatement. Oh, my gosh. No, you're right.
Craig's son's a quarterback. We got to throw that out there. First of all, how proud of you are of the Cowboys this year. Your son, man. Brag on him a second.
Yeah, no, I'm very proud of the Cowboys. And I like this team because they don't get too high or too low.
Yeah.
They definitely are a team, and I think that's what's kind of gotten them through this season. So many injuries have really impacted what they did, but I just super proud of them. Obviously proud of my son, but it's just this is tough as a dad.
It's hard. It's already game day on his face, man.
How do you separate the dad hat and the radio announcing, or does radio announcing calm you down?
But I don't think you need to.
The radio announcing calms me down, but I will tell you, especially if Camden does something really big, you can hear my voice get a little more higher, a little more.
It's scary.
Or a little more intense, you know. Let's go.
That's justified.
Oh, Craig.
Okay? That's what makes the listen to
dude,
the
dude, your call against Spring Lake Earth, hey, Kasperi slags it. That was a great call, by the way.
Mahomes-esque. The one thing, though, Craig does know Valley.
Oh.
And you know how good Valley is.
And they beat him the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Ohio Valley defeated Happy 70-68 in the first matchup. Jackson Edwards only played about a quarter and a half in that ballgame. He's healthy now. Happy's got back pace wrestler Kyton Johnson. Both of these teams are so different than when they played in the first meeting of the year, which was only week 9. Hard to believe. It doesn't seem like it was that far away, and it wasn't. But they've changed so much since then.
Yeah,
Edwards, Blake Beard. I mean, that gives them a dynamic 1-2 punch in the backfield. Bressler and Bowe for Happy is the same thing. End of the day, I think turnovers may be a huge impact in this ballgame. Who can protect the ball more? Because in six-man football, if you get a turnover on your opponent's side of the field, you oftentimes score. It's almost a guarantee. And so you want to avoid those turnovers. They got a ton of turnovers against Nazareth. They were down 32-31 in the third quarter. They got a ton of turnovers against Spur. That's what Valley wants, is a lot of turnovers. If Happy can avoid those, then I think they have a shot at winning this ballgame. But you talked about a nemesis. So Happy's record all-time in six-man against Valley is 10-16.
Wow.
They lost in the playoffs from 2012 to 2014 to Valley twice in the state quarterfinals. So they're 0-2 at this round here against Valley. Happy is only 2-4 in state quarterfinal matchups anyway. They've only won it twice in the state quarterfinals.
Throwing knowledge at us.
So
numbers.
It is a tough round because it's either been Valley or Borden County there to kick their butts every year.
Happy Cowboys, if you're listening to that, you're not that team in 2012.
No,
just remember that. You're the 2021 version.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving them a pep talk. No, you're right. Turnovers, you think, and you've seen them both. What else, real quick, in this game are you going to look for?
Honestly,
you know what I mean? Like, do they have to not avoid big plays? I know that's weird to say.
Yeah, no, I think you do. Both teams are going to try and avoid that. It could come down to, if neither team can run the ball, then it's who can throw the ball most effectively.
Okay.
And both teams have good quarterbacks, so it should be really interesting from that aspect of it. But it could come down to who can run the ball best, which is kind of weird because they both run it so well.
Any trick plays we're going to see in this one? Are either of these coaches tricksters?
I don't think so. Both of these coaches are pretty – I know Staniland is very straightforward. He loves running out of the J formation. Coach Perryman, he will tell you all day, every day, he is a running coach, and as much passing as done this year, I've given him a hard time about it. But it's kind of what we had to do to get through the season. And so, both of these guys just boom.
State semifinals. When's the last time the boys have been there?
What was it? Borden County?
2017. Yeah. Lost to Borden County two straight years. So it'll be interesting.
All right, man. And then on the other side, Ant and Klondike, two teams that aren't our area teams. Ant looks really good.
Ant is really good. Sergio Champion there. He's a dynamic.
What a great name, by the way. Yeah. Sergio Champion.
You got to be a champion if that's your last name.
That's like a world class weightlifter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like an Olympian. Good old Sergio.
Yeah,
champion.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a pretty even matchup. Klondike's got Josh Ayers Mendez. They're a spread back. He's very good. Pretty good size as well. He ran all over Groom. The one thing with Klondike that I'm a little. They lost a kid first game of the season, Creed Warren. He's now back. He played last week, had 70-something yards rushing, caught a touchdown pass. You just wonder, is that the kind of kid that helps put Klondike over the hump, makes him just a little bit better? I don't know. We'll see. I still like Anton in this ball game, but I think it's going to be a close one.
Your knowledge for 1A is fascinating.
It's fascinating, yeah.
Fascinating.
Well, and were you surprised with Anton's performance last week against our guys?
No. That was my one fear with Follett, is that they would run into a team that was just athletically superior. And that's what happened. And, they tried to keep it close. Shane Franks and those guys, great ball players. Coach Copley does such a fantastic job up there. Anton was, I think, on paper, probably a little better team, and it showed up in the final.
All right, there you go. Lance, we want to thank you for this in-depth show today. This
yeah,
was
I enjoyed
fantastic.
It, man. Yeah, I love listening to you guys' knowledge
hey,
as well.
Happy Thanksgiving to
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, you too.
Yeah,
both
man.
You guys have a blessed day.
Oh, and, we will. We got to ask you. We were talking about this earlier before you got here. What is your go-to on Thanksgiving?
It's not stuffing. So bring it. Bring the noise.
Well, okay, well, first of all, is it stuffing or dressing?
Oh, man, I grew up in Colorado, and it was stuffing.
Yeah. So what is your go-to then?
Stuffing's way down my list. Just get it out of my plate.
Are you joking?
Yeah, no.
You can get off our show.
Okay. I know.
What?
There's a reason he dresses the way he does.
Yeah, it's sacrilege. I know.
Dark or white meat?
I like the dark meat, you know what I mean? I do. And I don't mind a ham. I don't mind a little opposite. Okay. I mean, I don't mind the non-turkey meal, but it's got to be mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Butter that's going to give you a heart attack, okay? Butter all day. If the whole plate is that, a little turkey in between it, I'm good.
What else is on there? Anything else going with butter?
Green beans. Okay. No, the potatoes.
Okay, potatoes,
sorry. It's the potatoes and the butter. Sorry. I forgot the potato part.
I thought
sorry.
You were doing butter with a side of turkey on there.
It's all potatoes.
Okay.
You drop a little turkey in middle of it.
All right.
I'm good. Mashed potatoes, you know, just
green bean casserole?
Yo, yeah, all day.
All day.
All day, every day.
Okay. Yams?
Yeah, yeah.
Yams? Gross. Thank you. We agree
yams,
on something.
Yams don't even sound good.
No.
Who came up with the word yam?
Man, gross. You put a little marshmallow on top of it, a little brown sugar. Life gross. Is good.
But that's sweet potato. That's my sweet potato go-to, though,
okay,
with the marshmallow and the brown sugar.
Yes,
okay?
Yeah.
Am I wrong here?
No, you're right. You're right. There's a little difference there.
Okay.
A little difference.
What's your dessert? Pecan or pumpkin? What do you do?
Pecan's legit.
Is it pecan or pecan?
Pecan.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not a real pie guy, you know. I never have it unless it's just, and you guys are going to gross out, it's just that cream chocolate whipped cream about to the mountain. Pike's Peak High, you know.
You were 14,000
feet.
So is it a meringue topping or a whipped topping that you like?
Man, I can go both those. A really good meringue topping is legit.
But
you get some sloppy ones as well.
Well,
no disrespect to the chefs.
Well, that's why they call it calf slobbers.
Okay.
So So Lance's Thanksgiving is butter on the side of turkey and meringue pie.
And just
sloppy meringue pie.
Or give me a bowl of whipped cream, you know, just to watch the Cowboys with. You know what I mean? Yeah, real healthy.
Oh,
yeah. Real healthy people.
Hey, don't forget. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Don't forget, PressPassSports.com. We'll have all the roundups coming on Friday afternoon and Friday evening. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'll have it all for you. And Craig, you'll be covering the happy game Friday night.
Good luck, man. We're rooting for you.
Hey,
are you heading down to Wichita Falls Saturday?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to go.
I might roll with you.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that game on Saturday, so that'll be good.
That'll be fantastic. So regional semifinals, state quarterfinals going on across the area. I want to thank our sponsors before we get out of here. SKP Creative, the Minko Shopping Center, All Red Security Insurance Agency, Amarillo National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrillin Fundraising, Lacey White Farmers Insurance Agency, Kids Inc., Wellington State Bank, Renee Butcher over at Edward Jones, Madman Mentality with the Butcher Brothers, BSA Care Express Urgent Care, Modern Woodman of America, Andrus Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch Steak and Sports, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler Chapman Howard Insurance Agency, and the Furman family of companies, including Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, The Depot, Storage Solutions Center, The Red Box, Fat Boys Family Barbecue, and the Hot Dog Hut. For our special guest, the Hall of Famer, number 182, Lance Lunnert. For Cale Steed, creator and founder of PressPassSports.com, I'm Craig Spree with the Happy Sports Network. We hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving, weekend. Get ready. We'll find you on Monday. We will wrap up all the regional semifinals, state quarterfinals, and we might just have a special guest for you next week. Don't go away. Stars and stripes, it's fighting back them